This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me tonight. This is a very special night here on Nightlight. As many of you may know, if you've been listening to the show all week, we've been talking about this night as a special evening because it is the one-year anniversary of Nightlight. That's not a huge accomplishment in the broad scope of things, but you got to start somewhere, right? And we've been on the air for 1 year as of tonight. Conrad has been riding shotgun the whole way. Congratulations, buddy.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. This is fun. I didn't even know you when we started this. Yeah. I remember Todd introduced us and, you know, it's just worked out. So it's been a lot of fun and hopefully we'll be around for many more years, but it is really extra special to have you with us tonight to celebrate the 1 year anniversary. And to do so, we have a special guest. Bill Leff was our first guest on the show 1 year ago tonight. And he was phenomenal. He accused Conrad of trying to kill him because Bill is the kind of guy who just says what's on his mind and goes with it because he has an improv background and he's very good at it. And he is the host of a show called Tune In With Me on the MeTV network. It is a nationally syndicated show that airs every morning where they play old Bugs Bunny cartoons and Elmer Fudd. And then they mix in some sketches with Bill and his co-host Toonie, who's a fish. Lots of fun. Bill does a great job. It's a great show. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. But he will be here in hour number two at 7:35 to reminisce with us a little bit and tell us what he's been up to. So that'll be fun. Bill will be here later in the show. And I led with Bill, even though he's in the second hour, just because we will officially bookend the first year of our program with Bill Leff as the first guest and Bill Leff as the last guest in year number one. We'll have to think about moving forward, Conrad, how we want to do that, how we want to allocate our guests or disperse their visits for year number two.
I say we just have Bill Leff on every single night.
Every night? You think we'll run out of material or you think we can do it? I think we could probably swing it.
Yeah.
We can make that work. Also joining me tonight is very exciting. Chris Foran, one of our frequent flyers here at Nightlight, will be here to talk about Wicked and Gladiator 2. And Chris has also seen Conclave and Bonhoeffer, and he's really way more up on things even than I am. And I sent him my list of what I was watching lately and he said, oh, that's impressive. And then he kind of came back at me and like basically doubled the output of what he's been watching. So I will defer to Chris and we will ask him about what we should be watching and have a great discussion about TV and movies like we usually do with Chris. It'll be fun. And then at 7:05, this is exciting. A fellow member of the Civic Media team here, he is the program director and the morning host at Q98 in Park Falls, Joel Karnick, will be here. Now, Joel, for those of you who deer hunt, Joel hosts a show that lasts like a week and a half every year about deer hunting. It's called Deer Hunters Roundup, where people call in and they share their experiences and their stories. It is crazy popular, and I am not a hunter myself, but I know that many of you probably are, so I am hoping to learn a little something tonight from Joel. So I can speak more articulately about hunting and we can get to know someone else here at the on the Civic Media team. It'll be great to meet Joel. It's his first time on Nightlight. So I will certainly ask Joel what he is watching too and see what he can give us in terms of a recommendation. Maybe The Deer Hunter. Conrad, have you seen The Deer Hunter?
I don't know who's in that.
Hello. Conrad, are you there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Did we lose Conrad? Uh-oh. I can't hear you, buddy. Okay. Are you there now? Do we have a technical issue?
I think.
There we go.
You can hear me?
I did. I think I hit a button or something. Wouldn't be the first time.
Well,
So Joel, are you a hunter?
No, the last time I hunted was when I was like 13.
Okay.
So it's been a long time ago.
Did you get one?
I got a tom, a turkey.
Oh, you hunted turkeys.
Okay. I never hunted deer before. Only turkey.
Is it harder to hunt turkeys? I don't think I could. I don't think I could shoot anything. I could use my bare hands and feel good about it. But the turkey, how does that work?
Well, from my experience, I went on like this. It was like you have someone with you for like your first hunt that's experienced in it. And okay. We went out in his blind, and yeah, I found it. We had a turkey right in front of us, and I shot at it, and I hit it, but it wasn't a good shot.
Like, so you just wounded it?
Yeah, so we had to go find it, and it took like 2 hours to find that thing.
Oh no. So like what, it was still alive, like limping around? Oh,
yeah,
that's awful.
We found it like on a branch, like one of those big branches. Yeah. I'm not a good shot, I think. So I was like, you know what? This isn't for me.
Did that like ruin your day?
It did. It did kind of, but I still got one, I guess. So yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'll do this again.
Well, we'll share that story with Joel maybe when he's here at 7:05. So that's our lineup tonight, folks. A really fun lineup here on Nightlight. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it is National Santa List Day. Did you know this, Conrad? There's an actual day for this. Santa's List Day.
I sent one out this morning.
Did you? You think it'll get to the North Pole in time?
I don't know. I hope.
Fingers crossed. I hope you get what you want. But it is Santa's List Day, and that leads us to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is on your Santa list? What is on your Santa list? What are you sending to Santa? If you believe in Santa, what do you want for Christmas? Tell us what's on your list. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app. We are on statewide, so if you're listening on the app, click the little text icon next to the station you're listening to and let us know. And as usual, folks, let us know whatever you're thinking throughout the show. We love getting texts from you, and the show is so much more fun when you're involved. So let's have fun with this question tonight. Conrad, how can people watch the radio on TV?
Of course, yeah. So we're on Facebook, WISS, Nightlight with Pete Schwab and WGBW. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media and WGBW. And on Twitter, we are Civic Media or WGBW.
Love it. I just saw this. This is so weird. And I was talking to a friend of mine 2 days ago, and I meant to bring this up last night, and I totally forgot about it. Marinette, where I live, we've talked about Keewaskum, where you're from.
Yep.
We've talked about Marinette. Where I live in Marinette, people have so much fun with any kind of celebrity connection. And Marinette has an inordinate amount of celebrity connections for a little town. There's like 10,000 plus people here. But whenever there is some type of connection to Marinette, whether it's Pauly Shore's mom being born here, Winona Ryder's grandmother living here, or Rosie O'Donnell's daughter, Chelsea, getting busted with drugs here. She got caught with drugs November 18th, and she was in a Marinette County jail. Now, my friend tells me this like it's a big deal. And I'm the first thing I think is I feel awful for this girl who has a drug problem. She's been in the news before. And Rosie O'Donnell, I heard, now this could be a tall tale because people tend to talk too much about stuff like this, but came to Marinette to bail her out. So Rosie O'Donnell, Conrad, was in Marinette, Wisconsin over the course of the last week or so. How do you like that, buddy? Can you top that?
I cannot with Keewaskum. I cannot.
Well, not with that attitude. So that's hilarious. That's another celebrity happening here in Marinette. We've got a ton of them, folks. This is the place to be. I moved here in 2011 thinking the show business was eventually going to relocate to Marinette. I have not been successful yet, but I'm still keeping my fingers crossed because it would make it easier to live here for me rather than commuting all over the place. But I saw this yesterday, and once in a while, I feel like it's important to put things in perspective. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the minutiae, like today, regarding weather. I opened my curtains at 3:30, and it was a virtual whiteout that I did not see on my app. I was not expecting that. I thought the snow was done. I got up. I was on the Mino and the Mayor show this morning. I shoveled. Next thing I know, it's pouring snow. My wife said some of her teacher friends in Ocano, the roads were bad. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's our anniversary show. So whatever. You make lemonade out of lemons. And this is the kind of stuff that gets me thinking positively. So I'm going to share a couple of these. It's on a, I saw this on Twitter from a Twitter account named Miss Facto. And she just shares, I think it's a she, shares these fun tidbits from history. Number one, George Washington never knew dinosaurs existed as he died in 1799 and the first dinosaur fossil was discovered in 1824. Is that crazy, Conrad, or what?
Thinking about it now, it's like, wow, I can't believe he did. But yeah, back then you just...
He never knew.
There's no science, really.
Yeah, he had no idea what a dinosaur was. Here's another one. Sharks are older than trees. Sharks are survivors persisting through all five global mass extinctions in various forms over 450 million years. Not even trees have lived this long as they first appeared on Earth around 380 million years ago. I mean, that is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, not that a shark would ever encounter a tree anyway, but it's still fantastic. And a few weeks ago, I talked about I can't remember the name of the shark, but they live to be 400 years old. And they put a picture of this one on social media. And I had a George Washington moment then. I thought this shark that they estimated was 380 years old has been around since before George Washington. The shark was born before George Washington and outlived him by about 200 years. Here's one more before we have to get to a break. The 10th president of the United States, John Tyler, who was born in 1790, has a grandson who is alive today. I don't know if they mean like a great-great-grandson. That seems almost improbable. Right?
Yeah, I mean, unless he's like 100.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, he's born in 1790. Okay, so let's say he lived to 1850, had a son. The son had a child in 19. I guess it's possible. That's crazy to me. Here's one more. Woolly mammoths were still alive while Egyptians were building the pyramids around 2025 BC. This is great. I love this kind of stuff. This restores my faith in social media because it really depresses me, especially Twitter. Or X now, whatever you want to call it. I find it very depressing. All right, we're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on her first anniversary on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, she danced around the barroom and she did the hoochie coo. Yeah, she sang her song all night long, telling me what to do. Blow up your TV, throw away your paper, go to the country.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What is on your Santa list? That is our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Our one-year anniversary show question. What is on your Santa list? This is National Santa List Day. So tell us what you want for Christmas. Sherry is starting things off right after her usual good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. She sent Christmas trees tonight, Conrad. I don't know if you saw that. She says, happy anniversary with lots of heart emojis. Thank you very much, Sherry. Great to have you as a regular listener. As you know, we appreciate all your texts. She says, Robert De Niro. Can you make that happen, Conrad?
Just might have to write it down and the big man can do it. Okay.
Santa will get it done. Robert De Niro will have no idea where he's going, but he will land in Wisconsin at Sherry's house. We hope if you're that fortunate, Sherry. Jim from Appleton says, congratulations. 1 year done, 24 to go for that quarter century mark. Rarefied air indeed. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for being a part of it. We love getting your texts every night as well. Aunt Carla checks in and says, happy first anniversary, Pete and Conrad. Love listening to you. And I have learned so much. I've learned so many wonderful, interesting facts. Plus, Grandma Krieger is listening on her Alexa. She is so proud of you, Conrad, and you too, Pete. Thank Conrad, it has always been my goal to have your grandmother proud of me. I will take that. I will take that bit of Hosanna. Thank you very much, Aunt Carla, for letting us know that. Anna says she's in the 608. She says, congratulations, Pete and Conrad, on your first year anniversary. Let me just clarify, Anna. It's the first anniversary of the show. It is not an anniversary per se for me and Conrad. I mean, we're pals, but, you know. Thank you, Anna. She says, I'm asking Santa for a new pair of New Balance sneakers. Well, you could. That's doable.
Yeah.
Anna, frankly, probably more doable than Robert De Niro. What are you hoping for, Conrad? You got a Santa wish list?
You know, I'm hoping for a new pair of New Balance shoes, too.
Seriously?
I love some, just any sneakers in general. I like sneakers, so.
New sneakers. Okay, that's good. That's a good one. I don't know. I'm going to fester on this a while because I'm not sure what exactly I want for Christmas. I'm kind of past gifts. I don't want more stuff in my life. But since I asked the question tonight, I feel like I should probably give an answer. So mine will be forthcoming. My guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you're here on a great night because we have just two of our favorite guests. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is here tonight at 6:35, coming up soon. Joel Karnick from Q98 in Park Falls, part of the Civic Media family, will be here at 7:05 to talk some deer hunting and some country music. And then our first guest ever, who was on the show 1 year ago tonight, Bill Leff, will be here at 7:30. Conrad, you said you had some anniversary clips. Please explain.
Well, so I wanted you to guess. It's just, these are two types of songs, and I want you to guess where they're from. And they're okay. They're from TV shows.
Like from theme songs?
Not theme songs. Like they're actual like anniversary and one birthday song.
Oh, this is pressure, man.
If you get it, it's okay because it is kind of hard, but they're like the only two I could find from shows that actually had some type of anniversary music.
All right, well done. All right, lay a mommy stretch. Let's see what we can do here.
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
I know that, and it's going to bother me when you tell me because I can't put my finger on it. I don't know it, but I've heard that song before and that rendition. What is that?
It's from the Flintstones.
Oh. Okay, so I have heard it, but I never would have guessed. I would not have guessed the Flintstones. All right, let's do another one. That was fun.
This one's short, but I think this one you could get.
Okay.
We baked you a birthday cake. If you get it to me, and you moan and groan and woe, don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday. God, it sounds like Jackie Gleason, but it's not. It sounded like Jerry Lewis. I don't know.
It's from Black and White TV times.
Milton Berle show? Jack Benny show?
It's the Three
Ed
Stooges.
Sullivan? That's the Three Stooges?
Yeah.
Play that again. I want to hear that again.
We baked you a birthday cake. If you get it to me,
that's Larry.
And you moan and groan and woe, don't forget we told you so.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
So that was Mo at the end, I think. Was that a Shemp or a Curly?
It was Curly, I believe.
Okay, wow, that was good. And you said you had another one. Should save that? Or do you think we have time?
Yeah, we have time. This one's a short clip too. I really liked this song when I played it on your actual birthday, but we need to bring it back for Nightlight's birthday.
Oh God. The worst Christmas song ever. Those dogs can't sing. They're bad dogs. They need to go outside. Thank you for that memory. Thank you for that trip down memory lane. That was great. Checking in on the text line, we have Eric from Lodi. He says, I would like an escape compound in Costa Rica. Yeah, join the club, buddy. Everybody, I've never been to Costa Rica. I know two people moving there and one who already has. I mean, it's got to be expensive, right? I'm sure it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But everybody is moving to Costa Rica. We need to make sure we get a radio station down there. Sherry says, Conrad asked a question. That was the answer. What question did you ask that Robert De Niro was the answer to?
I forgot already. I don't
forgot to. But Sherry says, I don't want Robert De Niro. Okay.
Are you sure he can make it happen?
Yeah, I would have been fine with that, Sherry. That's a good crush, a showbiz crush to have. And Eric guessed the clip right. He said the Three Stooges. Eric is a showbiz savant. He has kind of been our fact checker a few times on the show over the course of the first year. And it's always great when Eric texts. Well done, Eric. Fantastic. Sherry says, for Christmas, the insanity of my life to slow down some. Sherry seems so chill. I don't see her having a crazy life, but maybe she just exudes calm when she texts. I don't know. All right, folks, lots of fun coming up. Get in on the fun. What is on your Santa list? What do you want for Christmas? That is tonight's question in honor of National Santa List Day. So let us know. Chris Foran is coming up from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He will be up shortly after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back. Our question tonight, in honor of National Santa's List Day, is what is on your Santa list, ladies and gentlemen? What do you want for Christmas? We've heard some great answers so far. We've got some more texts. We'll get to those soon. Bill Leff is coming up at 7:35. He is the host of the nationally syndicated show Tune In With Me that you can see on MeTV every morning. And Joel Karnick from Q98 in Park Falls, part of the Civic Media team, will be here at 7:05 to talk some deer hunting. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show one of our frequent flyers and one of my favorite guests to talk TV and movies with. He does great work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for their entertainment section, and he joins us here now on Nightlight, like he so often does. Chris Foran. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing very well, too. It's good to see you. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was good. Lots of time with family, very quiet.
I don't know how much time has to go by before it's not cool to ask that. Like, can I ask that right up until Christmas, or is it like saying Happy New Year? I don't know.
Well, there's, you know, you can make an excellent case that this is pretty much just the holidays between now and.
That's right. So happy holidays, Chris. All right.
And also with you.
Thank you. So, all right, let's get right into it because we both saw Gladiator 2 and Wicked. Not to compare the two because you really can't, but what did you think of each film?
I really liked Wicked a lot. I thought I'd never seen the play, and same. I kind of didn't want to. I wanted to kind of see it as a movie. I always, whenever there's a movie, wherever there's a musical, especially being turned into a movie that has that kind of belovedness to it, I'm always kind of dreading it because people are going to treat it like a museum piece and not make it a movie, you know?
Right.
And I think they did. I thought John Chu, who's the director, did a great job. He did a great job with In the Heights also. I thought a couple of the numbers maybe went on long, but I don't know if that's how they are in the play, because you got to be careful not to cross the fans on that kind of thing. Right. But the performances were not surprising to me, but they were both unbelievable. I mean, they were really good. And it was fun. It, like I said, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes, but it doesn't drag. I mean, it keeps moving, and that's all you can really ask for. Gladiator, It was okay. I finally saw, I watched the first one for the first time in 24 years the other day.
Oh, wow.
And I remember not being overwhelmed by it when I saw it. And I wasn't so overwhelmed by this one. I love Denzel Washington, though. I thought he was great. He's being talked up for a supporting actor Oscar. That might be a bit of a reach just because there's so always a lot of good people in that category.
Right.
But I thought he was easily one of the best things in it. I thought it ended in an interesting place, clearly designed to have a sequel. But I'm not sure where it would go. You know, it's kind of creating a fantasy world there that I wasn't expecting. But it was, I mean, it was well done. Ridley Scott knows how to make a movie. So
yeah, I thought it was weird, Chris. I liked it, but yeah. I kind of feel like I'd seen it before. Like even some of the music they used was from Gladiator 1, and they used a lot of the same lines, and they had flashbacks, which I guess worked, but I just felt like, and I don't know if it's because Ridley Scott is 24 years older. I don't want to accuse him of not being as good of a director as he was then, but it wasn't quite as nuanced. But in regard to Wicked, yeah, I'm with you. I've never seen the stage play or on Broadway, and I thought it really moved. I thought Ariana Grande was hilarious, and I just thought it was really enjoyable. I really dug it.
I was one of the things that it would be positive out of is I think even though she's a big deal and probably a category away from an EGOT, a lot of people don't know how good Cynthia Erivo is, and hopefully now they do.
Yes, well, she was fantastic, and I would say, you know, if the two of them were both up for Best Actress or Best Supporting Actress, I would probably give the nod to her,
right,
to Cynthia Erivo. However, for me, I just like people who make me laugh, and Ariana Grande was really funny in it.
I thought she did a great job. It's my understanding that the studio has already decided to put her up for Supporting Actress.
So. Okay, all right. I'm sure she could live with that.
Yeah, I'm sure she could.
So what about Moana 2?
That I haven't seen. I have a sort of a problem with Disney movies is that I don't go see them by myself because I go see a lot of movies on my own, and I'm an old man, and going to see those movies by myself, I creep myself out.
Are you worried about the optics?
Oh, I'm worried about, I remember, I think the last one I saw like that was like Up or something, and I left the theater and I was creeped out. So I thought, you know, I'm sure it's really good. I am a huge fan of Dwayne Johnson, especially his one eyebrow. Anytime he raises it, I'm in.
He gets a lot of mileage out of that.
Well, I think he's aware of how to use it. I am a fan. I'm still disappointed he didn't run for president like he said he would a couple of years ago, but you know, we have to move on.
I am too now. he borrowed that. He's as good at that with that eyebrow thing as Belushi.
I would agree.
What I wanted to ask you, though, I know you hadn't seen it. I hadn't either, but the records that it set are incredible. Five-day, one-day, Thanksgiving Day, weekend. It's just like, and the movie didn't even, like, whereas Gladiator 2 and Wicked, you know, Wicked had phenomenal reviews. Gladiator 2, the audience scores are high, but they'll have legs. I assume Moana 2 will, too, because it's a kids movie, but I was surprised that it did as well as it did, not having seen the film, of course.
Right. But well, I mean, I think I can put on my cliched entertainment guy hat, but I think there's a couple of factors for that. One, there really haven't been a lot of new kids movies in a while. Interestingly, there's a ton of them coming out the rest of the month. There's Sonic the Hedgehog 3, Mustafa the Lion King, which is getting some good notices already.
Right.
So there was not a lot of competition. It was the only movie that came out on Thanksgiving Eve, which is something to consider.
Yes.
And certainly you could take your kids to see Wicked, but it's really long. And maybe you didn't want to see a musical because not everybody loves musicals. So, I mean, I think it had all that going for it. Plus, it's a sequel. I mean, the sequels almost always do better than the first movie, even if the first movie's better because of the buzz from the first movie. But also, it apparently is pretty good. So, I was looking up some stuff. Yeah, the three movies last Thanksgiving weekend made between them took in $420 million. And it means that the box office for the year is now only down 6% instead of 10%, which is what it was a week before.
Still down. Really? Wow. That's
And so who knows? I mean, there's a bunch of big movies coming out.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, it's hard. A lot of the award winners won't be coming to our fair shores for a while yet. But
right.
Because usual we get passed by, but there's still some big movies coming down the pike here.
that's surprising with just with Inside Out 2 and the Minions film and now this. I can't believe we're still down, even though we're inching closer. But Chris has seen a ton of stuff, ladies and gentlemen. So if there's a question you have or if you want to ask him about something, he's seen Anora, The Wild Robot, Bonhoeffer, A Real Pain, and Conclave. All of those are on my list, Chris. What about which one of those grabbed you the most, would you say?
I would probably say, I go through this exercise every year that when I look at the biggest movies of the year, the movies that I like the best, my first question is, who would I recommend this movie to? And there's a lot of these movies that you can't always recommend. Like Anora is a movie that is not for everyone, you know, but it's about a sex worker who ends up marrying a son of a Russian oligarch. And there's lots of, you know, lots of nudity, lots of violence, lots of sex. Great movie, though. Conclave is very old school, has a couple of twists that I didn't see coming. It's certainly got a mature audience kind of thing going for it. It's sure to get a bunch of Oscar nominations. Real Pain is a grown-up movie too, but it's two cousins who go back to Poland at the request of their late grandmother. She wanted them to see where she came from. And so Jesse Eisenberg and Kieran Culkin. Kieran Culkin won an award, today from the National Board of Review for that. And they're both very solid. And there's more coming down the road. The one I'm really excited about is the Dylan movie, A Complete Unknown. Looks really good. A lot of people have decided to be Timothée Chalamet haters, but I watch this trailer and you think, wow, he's got it. He's nailed it.
And he's a good actor. And they're talking about him being not just nominated, but being the front runner.
It's hard to say. I mean, there's so many movies, like I said, there's so many movies that we haven't seen yet. One of the movies that won big today at the National Board of Review, which is one of the early big awards things, it was The Brutalist, which is a 3+ hour movie about an architect. Sounds real fun. But it won Best Picture, it won Best Director, I'm pretty sure, and it won Best Actor for Adrian Brody. I would think he might be the front runner right now. But there's this time of year, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming that should be good.
What is, I want to see Conclave. I haven't seen Conclave yet. Anora, I'm glad you said, when that first came out, I thought it was a kid's movie. I had no idea the subject matter. It sounds like, you know. How was Bonhoeffer? I know you touched on it, but that got good reviews too. And it sounds like an interesting story at least.
Not necessarily my cup of tea. It was only because I wasn't really sure what story they were trying to tell. It's a story. Bonhoeffer is about it's a true story of a German pastor and theologian who gets involved in the resistance to Hitler, and including involved in some of the assassination plots. And he's an important figure in Lutheran tradition. He's an important figure in the history of the resistance to the Nazis in World War II. Movie makes him kind of a saint, you know. At certain points, he's even backlit, you know, with a glow behind his head. Always makes me kind of uncomfortable, but there are a lot of people who have enjoyed the movie, and it's from the same studio that made the Sound of Freedom and Angel Studios. They've been distributing the TV series The Chosen. It has an audience that it's going for. I'm not sure. I'm impressed that it's still in theaters because these other big movies just swamp all boats.
Did you say The Sound of Freedom or The Sound of Metal?
No, not Sound of Freedom, not Sound of Metal. It's a very different movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's the name of it. Jim Caviezel movie about a guy who's undercover to stop children's sex trafficking.
Help me out with this one, Chris. I heard that. I heard it was like a faith-based film because of the company that made it. Jim Caviezel typically does that, but it got good reviews and audiences kept going to see it. So I thought, I got to see what the fuss is.
Right.
I liked what I read about it, like this kind of hero rescuing thing. I have to tell you, I didn't, and this is probably good, I didn't see it as a faith-based film when I was watching. I just thought it was an interesting story. I didn't think it was that exciting of a movie. I was expecting a little more heroism and that kind of stuff, but it did incredibly well. Is that because of the audience, do you think?
Well, that in the case of that movie, I think there were a lot of people who liked it, but I think there also was a movement to get behind the movie. Now, as you know, and again, the politics of this, but there is a lot of energy around concern over child sex trafficking. And sure. The studio got involved in encouraging people to what they call pay it forward, buy tickets for other people to go. And it really took off that way, kind of like a chain letter. And, and it seemed to work very well. They haven't quite done that as well with some of the other releases they've had. I know a couple of people who really like, they made a movie about called Cabrini, about the one nun. I think it was one of the first canonized people from the United States. And they've got other ones coming down the road, but they are very, the adjective I often use is faith fueled, that they're, you know, it's not, it isn't a Christian movie per se, but right. there's a message that has a religious bent to it. And that's not for everyone. It is tricky. Sometimes filmmakers use it as a crutch, just like they do with a movie star or something. They get lazy or they're not as good or whatever. I wasn't overwhelmed by The Sound of Freedom either. But again, a lot of people were. So.
I'm glad I saw you picked up a cat there. I thought when I heard that first little mew, I thought that was maybe your stomach and you hadn't eaten dinner or something.
No, that's okay. No, a cat likes to hear men's voices. She gets very excited.
Okay. All right. So Chris Foran is my guest. He does great work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, writing entertainment features for them. And he's a lot of fun to talk movies and TV with. So we have to do a quick break, Chris. When we come back, I want to talk about Cross and The Maddening, which I watched the pilot for Cross, or the first episode. And then I'm about 5 episodes into The Maddening. Very excited to get your take on that. We'll do that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. It's our 1-year anniversary, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Foran is here hanging out with us. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Our friend Christy Barlamin says, congratulations on 1 year, friend. Thank you very much, Christy. Congratulations on your new gig, helping your beloved Ed the Diver keep our waterways clean. And thank you both for doing that. And thank you for the nice words. And Carla got it right, Conrad. She said the Three Stooges to that clip. Yep, so that's impressive. I've been totally emasculated. I love the Three Stooges. My guest is Chris Foran. We are talking movies and TV as we so often do. Chris, so before we get into TV, do you ever see a movie called Night Shift, the Ron Howard? Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton are in it.
I have seen it, yes.
I do a movie pick of the week, and that's my movie pick this week, because it's kind of, it's about as Christmassy as Die Hard is. It's set in that time of year. But I just, every once in a while, I think of that film, and it just makes me smile. And I watched it 2 years ago with my son, who's old enough now to watch the R-rated comedies and all that kind of thing. I just love it. I don't know. What's your take on, did you see the film?
I saw it recently. I mean, like in the last couple of years was the first time I saw it, and because I was late to it. And it was better than I thought it would be, partly because this is sort of heresy, I guess, for some quarters. I'm not a real big Ron Howard fan, and as a director,
I could see that.
And I would say that there's never been a sharp edge that Ron Howard couldn't round off, and. And I mean, sometimes that works really well. I mean, I think Splash is fine, and I thought Night Shift was fine. I thought, it's a good reminder that Michael Keaton is very good at comedy and doesn't have to wear a ton of makeup to do it.
You know, yeah, great point. And it kind of sometimes, like with a guy like Michael Keaton, the director on some level just needs to get out of the way. That was his first big movie role. He was so great. Henry Winkler was great, downplaying everything,
he was fine. Yeah. I thought everybody was fine in it. And you're right. I mean, sometimes directors do best when they just kind of let it happen.
So. Yeah. All right. Let's talk TV. You and I are both watching. I'm about 5 episodes into The Maddening with Coleman Domingo. And here's my trajectory with the show, Chris. I really liked the pilot. I felt like it wasn't anything we haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. The show had me until he and his wife had to pose in the swingers club and they're having marital issues and they go in there to get information and they're kind of flirting. And I'm like, boy, I don't need to see this right now. Keep me on the story of him being framed, because, and I'm sticking with it, and I got past it and it got better again. But Coleman Domingo is the reason I'm watching that show.
Right. Right. He's going to definitely be nominated for that movie Sing Sing, which I missed when it was in theaters here. Right.
Same.
Screwed up and missed it. I've seen about 1.5 episodes, okay. and I am wary. I could see it being a show where I started watching Succession, and it started fueling all of my imposter syndrome and incompetency dreams every night. So I had to stop watching because it was like way too close to the bone, you know. And
wait, Succession was?
Yeah, I mean it's really well done, but it's I don't need to have those thoughts reminded of, you know, in my own head.
So. Oh, I'm the same way. That show is hard for me to, it's well done, right. But I stopped watching midway through season three. I'm just like, it kind of depressed me sometimes.
And I had the same problem with The Bear, which everybody I know loves, but it was so intense. It just made me nervous. And I'm already nervous. I don't need help. So if this one takes me down enough rabbit holes, I mean, I'm a big fan of rabbit holes. I love the parallax view and movies like that.
Oh yeah.
You know, but conspiracies that are worse than you thought they were, you know, so we'll see. But he is always worth watching. He was great in Ruskin and in a bunch of other things I've seen him in. So
he was the best thing about Fear the Walking Dead, like, which has its moments, but it's not as good as Walking Dead. But he was really good in it. He was a guy you just love to hate. And what about, I had a guest on the show, Yawa Sari, who came in and he made our popcorn pick of the week one week. And he told me about the show Cross that he was watching. Mm-hmm. And you're an Aldis Hodge fan, as am I. I think he's great in everything I see him in. But I watched the first episode of Cross and I haven't gone back to it. I probably will just to give it more of a chance. But what are your thoughts on Cross?
Cross is really intense. It's based on the James Patterson novels, the Alex Cross character. I have to double check this, but I don't think it's based on any actual novel. I think they just created this story.
Okay.
And it's real intense. I mean, it's got police brutality as a sub theme. It's got Black Lives Matter as a sub theme. It's got defund the police as a sub theme. It's got a serial killer. And maybe there's somebody else who's involved doing something totally different. And what saves it for me and the best parts of it, I just watched the whole thing and I did like it. What best parts for me are the parts where he gets to be Alex Cross, where he's trying to figure out what his gift is. He can see the big picture by looking at a bunch of stuff. And I've loved it. I first saw Aldis Hodge in A Leverage, which was a show that I just loved when it was on TNT years ago with Timothy Hutton and a couple other people. And I just thought he was really good. He was like the tech guy, you know, and he had played some good supporting roles. He was, I think, there's a Taraji P. Henson's character's husband in Hidden Figures. He was very good in that. Mm-hmm. And he's been in a lot of other things. He's really solid. And I think it would be nice to see that be a series. I hope it isn't as, I mean, this is horrifying. This is about a serial killer who's mimicking other serial killers.
Right.
That's you don't want to watch that one right before you go to bed. That would be my suggestion.
It's not very funny. He was great in City on a Hill. And then I think I saw him. I think he's in a Reacher, but he's a very good actor. So, well, you've given us a lot to ponder here. Thank you, Chris. And we'll have to have you back on before Christmas so we could do some Christmas movie talk. But I always appreciate your time, buddy.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Have a great night. That's Chris Foran. As always, great insights on movies and TV, the stuff we live to watch. Conrad, are you going to binge watch any of this stuff?
I think I'm going to give Cross a watch.
It is. I'm going to go back to it. Chris, sometimes I need a nudge, and Chris just gave me that. It's not like he didn't like the first episode, but it was just kind of getting set up. So, all right, we're going to read some more of your texts coming up. What is on your Santa list, folks? That's our question tonight, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And we are coming right back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed with one of our very own here at Civic Media, Joel Karnick. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.